the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Fukushima irradiated, totally fluoridated, and everybody's got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb by government mandate to help the economy. And, of course, we have a bankster prime minister sinister called John Key. And I've been making cannibalism references about him, you know, like I'm generally against cannibalism, but for John Key, I might make an exception. You know, a little bit of plum sauce, maybe some apple sauce even, or cranberry. Rotated on a spit slowly with a little bit of cracked pepper and organic sea salt or something like that. You know, maybe then you could benefit the homeless or even yourself, you know, some kind of nutrition getting out of the flesh of the prime minister as it goes down your gullet. Never mind. So on to more serious topics. In fact, there's nothing more serious than cannibalism really, is there? But my very special guest, who's going to be joining me for as long as he can, really, to the end of the show, is Charlie McGrath from the Rents Radio Network. WideAwakeNews.com is his website. And we have the situation here today on 9/11. This is like the, 11th anniversary now? So it's the 11/11 of 9/11. La, la, la. Apparently there's no armistice going around, though. The thing that's happening here is we've got this, shall we say, influx of new people who are getting the information that 9/11 was an inside job. And, but I was just thinking about this morning. Now I know how a JFK researcher feels. Oh my God, it's so obvious, it's so in your face. How come people still don't get it after 50 years? Oh, it's because the media's been covering it up for 50 years and not been repeating the same thing over and 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 over in a million different freaking contexts until you get given the impression that's the only alternative. That's why people don't know 9/11's an inside job or an outside job. People think that aluminium and kerosene can destroy millions of tons of concrete and like the strongest steel known to man. It just, what? Even my uncle, an engineer, who has half a dozen 9/11 truth-ish type DVDs on his frickin' bookshelf, still can't believe that it's an inside job. Still believes that those big aluminium aircraft took down the whole freaking buildings. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Now, here's the thing. When you're dealing with really scary facts, or more to the point, if you're dealing with truth, regardless of what that truth might be, people don't freaking like it. It's like, what's his name? Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell told me that you get what you pay for in this movement or in this field, or if you're going into their occult mysticism or whatever. Whatever you're getting into, you get what you pay for, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that 9/11 was orchestrated and has got more red flags than the entire People's Republic of China is no never mind to these people. They just don't see it. It's as if they have, it's as if they're doing a mime or something of that nature. You ever seen Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan, how he like sees this mime, you know, with the hands up and he goes, all right, looks like a K7 force field. I'll punch you out of that. Bam! Okay? There's nothing there, mate. Okay? Everything that this media has really put up around you is just like that mime in a force field. You're faking something that you didn't even know you were faking, and it's not even there anyway. And sooner or later, some stupid mofo is going to come around misunderstanding what you're doing by being a jackass, by not listening to facts or looking at evidence of any kind, for that matter. And eventually, you're going to get punched out and fall down, just like the mime did. Okay? This is the difficulty with this information. It's because, well, more or less, there is nobody home. Okay? I've finally come to the conclusion that for a huge, huge swath of people out there, there literally is nobody freaking home. They're going on autopilot. Okay? No different to how you would program a computer to fly a plane from A to B without needing a pilot. I mean, people are managing to travel from A to B without using their brains. It's the same thing. We've become roboticized. Manifesticided, you know? That's what's basically going down here. We're creating, or rather having created for us, a distorted reality and worldview. This is maintained by mainstream media to no end. You could never conceive it just how powerful it is to be able to communicate with billions of people simultaneously and give them the precise same message. Because if you were to talk to a billion people separately, you'd probably have your message questioned. You'd probably have to change your tune and change your tact and la, 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 la. But if everybody gets it all at the same time, they all have the same experience. And they're like, collective consciousness through mainstream media. Isn't that nice? We all know what's going on in the world. We know that George Bush didn't rig the frickin' election. You know, it's just... For those who know, it becomes a burden. Okay? And that's the difficult thing about it. Truth is, and in my opinion always has been, a great burden. Truth does not set you free. Truth simply allows you to see that, yes, oh crap, I am living in a prison. Truth is punished. Truth is dangerous. That's how it is currently. I wish to change that. And I don't care, quite frankly, what happens to me now, as long as the truth gets out. Because I've been sick of living my entire life, and I'm sure everybody else has too, trying to do the right thing and being told that you're wrong. Trying to tell the truth and then getting punished for saying it. Trying to do a job better and getting fired because of it. Trying to make yourself healthier and only getting sicker when you go to ask professionals for help. The whole system is like this. Truth in and of itself, whatever you want to do in your life, it will have enormous amounts of opposition from officialdom of all kinds. And apparently there was a movement back in the day to stop the dismantling of church apparatus and state apparatus. It was called anti-disestablishmentarianism, rumored to be one of the longest words in the English language, about 27 letters or whatever. And basically what it means is they want to prevent establishments from being dismantled, you know, anti-disestablishmentarianism. It's pretty simple. And I think that what's happening now is we're having a resurgence of that. But instead of the people coming out on their own and knowing what they're protecting, as happened back then, now the anti-disestablishmentarianism within people is simply provided for them, okay? The establishment exists and it reinforces itself consistently and brainwashes everybody into wanting to protect it. Oh no, I don't wanna look on the internet for other information. I just wanna sit on my couch and drink my fluoridated water and chew my aspartame gum while I'm eating my MSG corn chips and microwaving my popcorn, you know? Okay? And I'll spray on some aluminium deodorant while I'm at it too, and eat some I don't know, processed GMO corn syrup flavored Ben and Jerry's ice cream with a little bit of MSG crystalline juju berries in it, you know? I'm happy. I've got all these things. Man, I'm tired. Oh, God, I'm so tired. Why are you tired, bro? Oh, I don't know. What's your diet like? Oh, it's really crap. That's why. Okay. Your reality and the reason why you stick onto those things that frickin' poison you. It's because it's built up your comfort zone. It becomes uncomfortable with anybody trying to breach those zones. And I have I've breached so many of my comfort zones. I'm struggling to find things that I'm uncomfortable with now, like things that I'm unaware of that make me uncomfortable, right? Like somebody will give me a new piece of information or whatever that makes such and such preconceived notion wrong, and so I have to reroute that that train of thought, you know, carve a new synapse frickin' path, whatever it is. You change your mind over time. And that's what I find interesting, is that you can change your mind every single fracking day, can't you? Can't you? So long as new information keeps coming at you, you've got sufficient reason, in my opinion, to change your mind about virtually anything. And why wouldn't you? You know, it's about being consistent, say some people. You know, you've got to say the same thing over and over again and then keep saying it for a very, very long time. Well, in actual fact, if you're still saying the same thing 10 years from now that you were saying 10 years ago, what have you learned, mate? You haven't learned nothing. So in the last 11 years since 9/11, since everybody had been out there preaching in the streets 9/11 truth, this, that, and la, 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 what have we achieved? We got a big spotlight to go up in New York City to represent Building 7. What did it achieve? We had tens of thousands of 9/11 truthers protesting on the streets on the anniversaries and that kind of stuff. What did it achieve? You got one or two people who go into Ground Zero who are ballsy enough to say that 9/11 is an inside job. Writers people are grieving on the single day, and you get roughed up by cops and taken away. What did you achieve? Frickin' nothing. Okay, that's the problem here. We're not achieving anything, and it's well. Actually, no. I'm going to back up the truck here. Let's quantify that. By achievement, I mean a person who can have their finger pointed at them and that person arrested and go to jail. 11 years since 9/11. You name me one criminal or terrorist who actually took part in the attacks, okay, who is provably by a jury of unbiased people actually guilty, you know, gone to prison and or executed or whatever for crimes of scumbaggery, magnitude, whatever. Hmm? Yeah, you talk about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Dude, you would admit to anything if you did fracking how many odd years of rape and torture in Guantanamo Bay. Okay? You can book a ticket. You can take a cruise. You can take cruise liners there now, apparently. You know? They hook up at the terminals right next to the FEMA camps. See? This is what I'm talking about. Nobody knows who did it. You've got a whole lot of suspicions. We've got a suspicion about Israel, about Bush involvement, about Jeb Bush, and blah, 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 blah. So many names have come up for culpability and involvement, but none of those names have gone down, have they? They are still out there. They are still wreaking havoc. They are still fracking with us. They're laughing their asses off right now. Dude. You know,
dude, it's been 11 years since we pulled off that 9/11 thing. We told everybody that aluminium cans and kerosene gas can vaporize and dustify entire hundreds of thousands and millions of tons of steel and concrete. The people are so stupid. Let's go do some more blow with George H.W. Bush. All right, wait.
George H.W. Bush doesn't do blow, does he? No more?
No, man.
He's on that H trip, if you know what I'm saying. He's getting that heroin all plugged up in there. I mean, that's why he invaded Afghanistan, you know what I'm saying? Gotta get some of that H sauce back in here. Back up in chaos. This is the scum that we're talking about. And I don't know, maybe the caricature. I don't think the elite really talk like that. But I always see the elite kind of in a caricature. I don't want to be racist or anything, but you know how blacks have been demonized throughout history in the media, okay? And they've been turned into these kind of sideshow comic characters, like the token black guy and such like that. That's kind of an archetype that's been put on me. And now whenever I see somebody who engages in scumbaggery or stupidity or something like that, that archetype, regardless of race, kind of comes to mind. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because I've been completely, utterly brainwashed and programmed by all the movies and TV and everything that I've watched over my relatively short life and been compounded and concocted with so much freaking messages that my brain cannot protect my freaking subconscious from. You know? There's so much out there that's happening to all of us at all times, and we've got no protection from it. We're all brainwashed. And the sooner we realize how freaking brainwashed we are, the sooner we can start scrubbing our brains full of that washing powder liquid that gets sprayed on us every single day by the media and the radio and the television and all that crap. Crack it! Crack it! We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned, they like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man, he's gonna take me to that little room. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. This is our 9/11 episode, the 11th anniversary of 9/11. And I don't know, I set my alarm this morning. I was up till like 3 a.m. last night, and the show starts about 10 a.m. local time, so I haven't had enough sleep. So I set my alarm for 9/11 in the morning, but of course, I woke up at like 7:30, so I'm even tired up, which is good. Because usually when I'm tired, I'm a little bit calmer and a tad more angry, which is, I don't know, makes for good radio sometimes. This is our situation, I feel, with the 9/11 truth movement. There's some that claim that 9/11 truth was started up as a false opposition. Okay, so it fits with the New World Order modus operandi that that would be the case, doesn't it? Because when you're thinking about, when you're thinking about how a false flag op gets pulled off and how you cover it up and how they've pulled off others and covered up others, you see the same pattern emerge. First of all, it's orchestrated from the inside at the highest level almost every time. So whoever is involved has deep connections, knowing it years and years and years in advance. Decades in advance, maybe. Who knows? There's something going on in the upper echelons of society that many people are simply not aware of, okay? We had this, what's it called? A friend of mine told me that one of his acquaintances had been in the background to one of Rupert Murdoch's private conversations. And the way that they speak of the people with such disdain, like they're scum, like they're cattle, like they're trash, really sickened this person, enough so that they risked their job by talking about it, kind of thing. And this is the real mindset of the so-called elite, is that we're nothing to them. We are human resources, okay? In fact, speaking of human resources, you have that term now. And most companies have an HR person, human resources person. And I was talking to one of my listeners last night on the show chat, and he was being fired from his job, and the HR ladies thought they'd hung up the phone, but they didn't, and they were talking behind him. And he listened to him, and they had fired like 100 people or something that day, and they were laughing, absolutely laughing, thought it was real funny that they fired a woman who was 7 months pregnant, who now has to go find a new place to live, okay? That's kind of the same mindset that we're talking about here. No empathy. This is why people cannot understand that it's a conspiracy, because people have empathy. They don't understand that the elite are not real human in so many ways. Because what it means to be human is to have creativity. What it means to be human is to have empathy. What it means to be human is to want to do good for others. These people simply don't qualify anymore. Okay, that's what psychopathy does to you. It takes away all of that. You can manipulate, you can distort, you can copy, you can fake, but you can't really create. You can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, but you can't give. That's what it is. That's the mentality that we're dealing with. That's why people don't get it, because it's too much for them. It's cognitive dissonance. It's attacking the messenger. When somebody comes up to you and says there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who are concocting to rob you of all of your freedoms and your liberties and destroy your country from the inside out with complex intelligence gathering mechanisms, all supported by a military industrial complex and a corrupt court system, it flies in the face of everything you've been taught your entire life. So you go, oh my God, this person must be nuts. Okay. Not everything can be. Not jumping to the conclusion, oh, everything's obviously a lie then. You don't jump to that conclusion at all. You jump to the conclusion as, oh, this person's saying everything's a lie when I've been told different. So this one person who's telling me everything's a lie must be wrong. But what happens is if you get told that by one person and then another and another and another, that starts to wane a little bit. But it depends upon your social circumstances. For example, if you're only hanging around your mates that you've been around with high school and blah, 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 unless one of them becomes a truther, you're never going to be exposed to it, you know, let alone be exposed to it enough to go out and want to be active and really, truly do something about it. Because the likelihood is you'll probably just ostracize that one friend and continue going drinking with your other mates that you still have, okay? People's boxes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. People are getting angrier. People are getting more frightened. That's the whole idea, really, is to ensure that people can't have real relationships, can't have a decent moral ethic in their society. This is the agenda. And it scares the living Shiite Muslim balls out of me, because when you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't fracking move. I can't fracking breathe without something controlling me or telling me that I need to pay money for it, or telling me that my the oxygen that I breathe is wasteful or something like that. Just this whole psychopathic control grid going down. 9/11 Truth goes into one aspect, only one, of the global control mechanism, and that is that of the Hegelian dialectic and false flag terrorism. A Hegelian dialectic is, in the scientific terminology, thesis plus antithesis equals synthesis. That's the formula. One plus one equals the other. In real terms, let's say you were, I don't know, let's say you're a doctor, and you have somebody who's coming in complaining of a bit of stress in their life, a little bit of mental problems. So what you do is you go, this person's got mental problems. I could ask them what's going on in their diet, and if they are drinking enough water, if they're drinking too much caffeinated and MSG and sugary stuff and what have you that keeps their body completely out of balance, so they can't keep their mind in check. That kind of thing, or are they getting enough exercise? Now, I could do that, But in the Hegelian dialectic, what I'd say is, okay, shut up. I'd like to hear about your problems. Shush. Okay. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to solve your problem by giving you this drug. What's this drug do? I don't know. What are the side effects? I don't know. Just take it. Trust me. I'm a doctor. You go, okay, you're a doctor. You obviously know my body better than me. You obviously know where it hurts and I don't. So I'll just go and take this. And then when you go and you take that, it starts to give you all these really bad stomach cramps. And you start to get kind of dizzy. And you start to kind of fly off the handle a little bit and get really angry. So you go back to the doctor. And the doctor says, oh, how'd that drug work out for you? You say, oh, it didn't work very well. They've got this, that, and the other going on. And he goes, oh, okay, well, that drug can sometimes do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you on this drug as well to counteract the effects. So you go there and you start taking these two drugs. And sure enough, the stomach cramps goes away, the dizziness goes away, but now you start bleeding out of your rectum. And then you go back to the doctor and you say, hey, mate, have you got another drug to help me stop bleeding from the rectum? And he's like, yeah, not a problem, mate. Hey, take this one. It's a suppository. So you go home and you start taking. Now you've got three medications, and you're paying more for each and every time you're going in and getting them, and you pay for every single consult that you're going in, and you don't suspect all the while that what he's doing is he's actually giving you things that make you sicker, so that he can give you things that you think will make you better, when in actual fact will make you sicker and just keep you going back for more. And before you know it, you're bankrupt and incredibly sick, and on 56 medications a day. Okay? That's the Hegelian dialectic at work in just one sector, in just one instance. And it happens all the time, in every sector, in every instance that you could ever possibly imagine. That's the dealing. it's literally kind of like a drug dealer, you know. There's, in fact, it doesn't even work in that context, because drug dealers don't work for the government. Unless, of course, they're CIA or FBI or DEA or, in fact, okay, drug dealers are the government. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. You know, they control everything in terms of information distribution and surveillance. What, you can't even say that they control everything, do you? Because if they did control everything, would I have this radio show? No. Okay. There's innumerable ways to get stressed out about it. But as long as you understand what you're dealing with, now, this is my perspective. If you understand what their motivations are, what they do, how they go about it, you can then set about exposing it, drawing a spanner in the works and what have you. That might be an idea. However, once you do jump into it, then you get the instance of what's called counterintelligence programming, COINTELPRO. And this methodology of demonizing leaders, movements, and things like that goes back to, what's his name, Dr. Martin Luther King. It was a new type of surveillance that was pioneered by the FBI, allegedly. I'm not sure about the chronology here, but they essentially, you know, were tapping his phone and following him around and demonizing him and paying off politicians or freaking media or whatever. Basically, this person's dangerous. Let's damage their credibility. Let's get them the frack off air. Let's stop them. Whatever they're doing right now is something we don't like. We don't like blacks having equal rights. So let's stop that. So nowadays we've got something similar. We don't like Americans having rights or private property. So we're going to go about and adopting certain methodologies in order to eliminate that. And sure enough, everywhere you look, state legislatures, Congress, the Senate, the presidential elections, they get more corrupt by the minute, by the second even. Every time you look at a alternative news media article now, it is showing you just how much worse things are today than they were yesterday. There is a huge sense of urgency here. Some people believe that 9/11 might be one of these silver bullets. I don't believe there is one. Some people believe that if you just focus on one particular area, you might be able to crack open a veneer and then start to expand people in through other areas. Or maybe you think that it's just that 9/11 is the be-all and end-all. As soon as you know 9/11 is an inside job, suddenly all the problems magically solve themselves. You don't need to know about occult ceremonies or child sacrificing rituals that the elite partake in, or Bohemian Grove, or any of that kind of stuff, do you? No. These buildings got blown up by a government, and it's false flag terrorism, and that's all I can handle in my reality right now. Okay, that's fine. You might wake up to a certain point, but if you ain't woken up entirely, you're still asleep, okay, in my opinion. Okay, I have people from Zeitgeist Movement. When I publish articles or interview guests about, for example, being against the climate change agenda to tax all life and on this fracking planet through carbon taxation, right? They accuse me of working for big oil. They're still asleep. You know, 9/11 Truth Movement. Tell me that I'm a kook for talking about Jachin and Boaz, the two main Masonic pillars that usually stand on either side of entranceways and stuff like that, which is what the Twin Towers really symbolized at the end of the day. Okay? Oh, you're a kook, mate. It's true. Okay? You know, I didn't make it up. But just because you're not prepared to accept it, or you're not even open to the possibility, you're still asleep. Let's stop distracting ourselves. Let's get real. What have you done today? Today, 9/11, the 11th anniversary of the worst terrorist attack like in human history, basically. What have you done today to expose it? Have you given somebody a DVD? Have you done this, that, or the other? And more to the point, even if you did, what would it accomplish? See, I'm starting to wonder whether or not 9/11 is simply one part of people's giant wake-up, one small piece of the puzzle, a critical piece, but a small piece nonetheless. And unless you're willing to look at the overall picture, the whole puzzle in its entirety without fear or preconceived judgment, you will never wake up. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We've been having problems trying to get our guests on at present. Of course, Charlie McGrath is on his cell phone. We haven't been able to connect him. He should be popping in pretty much any minute now. And also Dr. Judy Wood, hopefully, as well. But in the meantime, we'll have to just cope. Now, other aspects to 9/11. Alternatives theorem. Now, as far as I've seen it, there's a number of different theories about what went down on 9/11. But just about the demolition of the towers solely. Okay, we'll focus on that now. Most popular theory, as far as I've seen, and as far as people who are running around promoting it and whatnot, is the controlled demolition via nano thermite, etc. And it breaks down like this. Nanothermite, allegedly, some people claim that it doesn't exist, and some people claim that, what's his name? Forget his name, but he did a whole bunch of studies on the dust and found that it had these red spheres, which were typical. I think it's red iron kind of thing, little spheres found in the dust. And in order for red spheres to be all over the dust, and this is a known component. And after effect of thermite and thermite, allegedly, in order for it to be all through that dust, and you remember that day, you remember how much dust there was, there would have to be a heck of a lot of that kind of stuff going down there, all right? A heck of a lot of it being applied, used all over the place, right? Turns out, a few weeks leading up to 9/11, there were these elevator upgrades. People have given testimony, allegedly, that they saw heaps of people in unmarked jumpsuits and stuff walking around, dragging cables and what have you, and huge amounts of work going on in the towers just weeks before the event. There was an Israeli shipping company who shifted out of the World Trade Center a week before 9/11 and broke their lease. So there's evidence of foreknowledge. Many people also inexplicably didn't turn up to work that day. There were children in high schools, reports coming out in newspapers of children saying those towers are coming down, or daddy said it, or something like that. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani conveniently wasn't anywhere near there. You know, Jeb Bush, George Bush's cousin, was head of security for the World Trade Center up until September 10th. Okay? Whole lot of red flags just there alone, let alone the alleged evidence of nanothermite and what have you. So how would it work? First of all, you cut your beams. 45-degree angle, typically, just kind of tape, you know, just right across there. And this isn't conventional demolition. If you're doing covert demolition, on the other hand, I don't know what the methodology would be, but apparently you can turn thermite into a paint-like substance, and you can just paint it on. And only once it gets a signal from, a detonator or something like that, would it actually start burning and cut through those beams and what have you? So you got what? 100-odd stories of steel and concrete who get all their support struts and everything cut simultaneously, done with the thermite, and then on top of that, you have the explosive force that is coming out of here. Indeed, a 50-ton beam was flung from the World Trade Center, I think a half a football field away, to lodge into the side of another building. Human fragments have been found, even up till as little as a couple of years ago, on the roofs of surrounding buildings, pulverized practically like tiny little slivers of splinters of human bone that had exploded so extremely that it just, you know, shattered at the core. And we have Charlie McGrath, who has just come back online. So if the studio is listening, hopefully we can bring Charlie in on this. And also, the other part of this nanothermite type thing, as well as explosives and all of that stuff, is about bombs being planted in the buildings, even at the lower levels. Willie Rodriguez, for instance, who's the janitor there, he was in the basement of the World Trade Center just before the planes hit, and it was hit with an explosion so powerful that it actually pushed them upwards and he hit the ceiling, you know, in the garage. That's pretty extreme, man. And this is before the planes hit. And inside the, inside the lobby of the World Trade Center was also busted out glass, and it looked like, according to some firefighters and emergency response personnel, quote, that a bomb had gone off in the lobby. And this is just parts of long-range evidence that we've got for the explosives demolitions of 9/11. Now, that's what theory number one. Also have theory number two and three. There's Dmitry Khalazov saying that it was done by these nukes, and Judy Wood, who says it's done by directed energy weapons. So we'll get into that in the second hour. For now, we've now been joined by Charlie McGrath from the Rents Radio Network, wideawakenews.com. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. And again, I apologize for my lack of being in a cell service range. I was right there with you right up until you went live, which was, what, about 49 minutes ago. And you've been running solo, I'm assuming, since then.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good man. You know, if anybody can do it, Vinny, if anybody can take the reins and grab the bull by the horns and go for it, it's you. It's you. So I don't know what else to say.
Well, see, I was actually quite thankful in a way that I did get the chance today to have a bit of a rant on the topic of 9/11, because I know quite a lot about it. And quite a lot of different aspects and that sort of thing. And what I've really determined is that it's just one of many conspiracies.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And matter of fact, I'm getting my camera rolling here with you because you are you're a pioneer in this industry, and you're rolling with every program live, aren't you?
Well, we don't broadcast the video live, but it gets all recorded. And for those of you listening, you can also check out the video version of the show that's uploaded for free to the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. If you just search Vinny Eastwood on YouTube, it should be able to find it quite easily. But other than that, Charlie, I also wanted to thank you for kind of the work that you're doing on the Rents Network over there, sort of providing, I find, a rage imbalance persona, you know, just kind of like getting real angry, but also keeping it together at the same time. I don't know how you do it, bro.
Well, I don't know. I guess I've never heard really the angry. I've been told that about the rant, you know, and I don't ever intend to start out that way, you know, when I start talking about whatever topic of the day is, usually it has to do with economics or political malfeasance, but it starts to roll, and you know it sometimes you know I know you like to look at the lighter side of things, and I respect that about you, and I know I've listened to you before too. You get fired up and passionate about, you know, when it's easy to look at this stuff every day and just kind of become numb to it. But once in a while it hits you and you really just, it's amazing. It's amazing that we're still sitting here in 2012 after, you know, a decade of being underneath the Patriot Act, and most of the people are still just running around pretending like everything's okay. I hear the music, so we can get back to that break.
Yeah, indeed. How long does it take? Is this something I mentioned earlier on in the show, Charlie? You know, now I know what a JFK researcher feels like, who have busted your hump for so freaking long to expose the truth about something that was so obvious right then, yeah, so long ago, and yet still people don't get it, and you haven't accomplished anything or arrested any of the scumbags responsible. We're 11 years on. You know, where the frack are those... You know,
they're getting medals. They're getting rich. And tonight, after your program tonight, I'm going to do mine. And I have Susan Lindauer on. She's a CIA whistleblower that knew all about, you know, 9/11 before.
All right, we're coming to break, Charlie. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Very cool.
Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Charlie just went around and grabbed his Wide Awake News shirt, so I went and grabbed my Vinnie Eastwood Show t-shirt because Charlie got the right idea. There's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion, is there?
That's right. That's right. can't tell. I got the big banner behind me there, which a listener actually made for me, which I thought was very kind.
Yeah. Well, a listener made this t-shirt for me. A listener donated this microphone. You know, it's just like, you know, Charlie, as a radio show host, you realize that you are the audience as well, to a large degree. You know, you're learning things for the first time, just like the audience is. And thus, you can't say I'm a radio show host. I've got more than you, audience. Blah blah blah. Because you're completely dependent on them at the end of the day.
Absolutely. That would be the absolute epitome of hubris, I think, you know, to pretend like we're, I don't know, whatever, superstar personalities. I mean there's a lot of people that know Vinnie Eastwood, no doubt about it, in the alternative set. But you've seen it before, haven't you, where some folks will come into this and then they'll all of a sudden, you know, they'll get a sponsor or something, and then they're out there, man. They think they're the next whatever, you know, Walter Cronkite or whoever. And, you know, people lose their message real quick, I think, when they go that route, when you get into, you know, all about doing it for the money. I mean, we all need money. We need money to survive. We, you know, unfortunately, we still have the current system in place and we have to eat. But when it becomes about money, then it's you're on the fast track to nowhere, because if you're getting involved in this kind of media to make money, well, you pick the wrong one. I mean, you pick the mainstream, because that's where all the money's at. I mean, that's you know, where you're going to make it big if you're going to make it.
Oh, that's true. And we got a whole bunch of these people in New Zealand as well, Charlie. You know, like people who are kind of start off sort of alternative, whatever, and then they just basically they swing more and more to either the conventional left or the conventional right, and become more extreme in order to fit into the paradigm, and then they start censoring their content in other areas, that kind of thing. And
yep.
I don't know. Yep. I don't know.
Or they'll tune in to, you know, like you said, they'll instead of developing their own train of thought and carrying that through and trying to make their point, or at least having a mind that's willing to listen to multiple sides, they'll see an angle with grabbing the far perceived far left or the perceived far right, and then they'll run with it. And it's the fastest way to implode, you know, jump on the Obama birth certificate bandwagon and pound that to death, and then get on, you know, to whatever else you find when you put your finger into the wind. But I mean, you know, there's plenty of that. There's plenty of that out there. It's the people that that come on and, you know, maybe talk about the same type of topic, but you can tell they're doing it from a position of being passionate about it, not being, you know, trying to be sensational or shock jock about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's the chips fall where they may mentality. And today being the 11th anniversary of 9/11, we've both been exposed, you and I, Charlie, to different theories about 9/11. Have you ever gotten emotional and about it and gone, that person's disinfo? I have never done that.
No.
It's like, no. I just sit back and listen to what every person has to say and then discern for myself what the truth is. Is it an accuse or anything
and
like
that? And then realize that the guy who just, you know, is so passionate about his position, and then there's somebody who's got another position that's, you know, completely 180 degrees, somewhere in there is the truth, right? I don't think, you know, I don't know if you go full bore one way or the other and believe that, you know, Cheney hired the pilots to, or whatever, he put in the controls himself to fly planes into buildings. But, you know, I think thinking people, if you pull out of the mainstream at all and pull out of the, you know, especially here in the United States, you pull out of the patriotic fervor that still surrounds 9/11, and you just ask some really, really basic questions, it's hard to believe that at the very, very minimum, there wasn't a complete and utter and total breakdown intelligence of you know, it was either a case of gross negligence and incompetence, or it was known this attack was coming. And if you look a little further down that path, you find out, you know, how long does it take you after you realize that the Patriot Act was written before 9/11 to realize that, wait a minute, this just doesn't add up, you know? And then you start to hear firsthand reports of people like Susan Lindauer, who will be on tonight, that, you know what, this was certainly known about. Maybe it wasn't planned, but it was certainly known this was going to happen. And as soon as it did, look what we've turned into. Look what this world's turned into, Vinny. I mean, we're a police state. I had your producer on the other night, Mitch, and it was a great interview. You know, and he's a great guy. He's got a lot of cool stories.
You got to love him.
Yeah, he's great. And we were just talking about, you know, the police state, the build out of the police state in the United States. One of the reasons he left the United States, but he sees it right there now. He sees it in New Zealand. So the world's has drastically changed because of that event. And I guess arguing about what caused it, well, you know, I'm more concerned about where we're at. You know, what caused it is certainly an important topic, but where we're at is the present and the now, and our future. I think our future is hanging in the balance.
Well, Charlie, that's something that just struck a chord with me now. You're right. Like, for instance, if you're talking about JFK assassination or what have you, there's still people going into the details, and people
right.
like Len Osanek and things like that who are interviewing somebody every week on the JFK assassinations and the details and la, 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 la. Again, you don't actually achieve anything in the here and now by just trying to nitpick about what happened there and then.
Well, you know, why don't we talk about Bigfoot? I mean, if we're going to talk about things that are ancient, do you say that? You say that JFK, that whole...
Well, I don't know. It's still an important topic, and
yeah,
as Bill Hicks says, start talking about Kennedy, Bill. You know, it was a long time ago. Let it go. He goes, okay, then don't bring up Jesus to me. Hey, Bill, Jesus loves you. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Forget about it. As long as we're talking shelf life here.
I guess that's a good point. But it does go a long way in proving or in showing. Hold on, I got too many feeds going on here at once. It does go a long way in showing, you know, when you talk about, if you talk about like the Gulf of Tonkin, or you talk about the JFK assassination, or, you know, the executive order that was going to create a silverback currency, and show that there's a preponderance of evidence that government has no problem pulling major false flags and have done it throughout history. So, I mean, that does lead I don't want to use the word condition, but to show people that, you know, maybe everything isn't as it seems.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, children of these conspirators and stuff like that often have very interesting careers. You know, like what was his name? Jim Morrison from the Doors. His father was the creator of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, right? And so I was thinking, you know, it must have been planned well in advance, you know, so when he was playing in sand pits as a kid, he was playing this Gulf of Tonka kind of game or something like that with his trucks and everything. He didn't know what was really going on.
Yeah, look what happened to him. They got rid of him. He's buried in France now.
Yeah. And this is what's, I think, deeply concerning to me, is that there's so much of a family atmosphere going on here amidst conspiracy. You know what I'm saying? And it occurs to me that because people don't know which families are involved and everything like that, the amount of blame or the amount of accuracy of prosecution can never be assured because you don't know who you're prosecuting or for what. And you can have anybody thrown in front of you, this Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I mean, look, dude, if I had electrodes on my testicles, I would admit to anything, okay? Yeah. I would admit that I am a shape-shifting reptilian alien that eats baby flesh for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if I had electrodes on my testicles. There is no doubt about it.
You can get somebody to confess to whatever you want them to confess to make the pain stop without, yeah, no doubt about it. So it is hard to trust information when it's gathered that way, and we've become, here in the United States, you know, we're the rendition capital of the planet. You know, we'll send you somewhere and let somebody do exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And I say, in the meantime, you know, let's try and have some fun with it at the very least. Like, you know how the reason why hurricanes are named as they are is because they're named after somebody who the person who discovered their storm system didn't like. Okay. And I was just thinking, man, Hurricane Rockefeller, freak, that'd be funny.
there you go. Hurricane Rockefeller. We're feeling the effects of that. No doubt.
Or Cyclone Rumsfeld, you know.
I had an interesting guest on last night, Sherry Edwards, and you brought up Rumsfeld, but made me think about that. And I don't know if you know Sherry or not, but she's one of the founders of Sound Health Options. And Sound Health Options, they listen. It's like a Rife resonant frequency. You know, it's using sound in order to cure different ailments, but it can also be used. Their program they developed can be used to, they would record, you know, 30 seconds of any Eastwood, and by the tones that you the tones that you use and broadcast, I guess, when you speak, they analyze this, and they can it's amazing, actually. It sounds like bunk when you first hear it. It sounds like, oh, this is crazy talk, but she's been on the program several times. She's done readings, I guess you call them, on folks calling into the program. She's done them on me, and then she's done them on a lot of mainstream personalities. And at least when she did the reading on me, I was blown away. I mean, I was blown away. I had this ailment going on, a sinus infection that had spread, and it was. And she knew it. She knew exactly what the mainstream Western doctors would tell me. And I was blown away. So when she was doing the audience members calling in, she was nailing it, at least to their, you know, they were telling me that she was absolutely right on the money. And the reason I'm prefacing all that is because I'm trying to lend some credibility to what she had to say, because I believe she is credible. But last night we were talking about 9/11, and she wanted to do readings on Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush, and they were all after 9/11. And she was doing these analysis on their voice patterns, because it gives her an idea of if they're holding back, if they knew more information than they were sharing, are they speaking from a foundation of pre-knowledge of what was going on? And for a control in those three, she used Colin Powell, the you know, Secretary of Defense at that, or not the Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time. And Colin Powell had this reputation at that time of kind of being the dupe, right? Everybody remembers him going in front of the UN and claiming weapons of mass destruction, and we didn't find any. But he kind of had a poor Colin Powell feeling about him. Everybody thought, you know, Cheney, Rumsfeld coerced him to go make these claims. And to her surprise, when she did the analysis on them all, you know, Bush had plausible deniability. I mean, he was speaking as somebody who's been fed information but didn't really know anything other than what he said. Cheney had some foreknowledge of what was going to happen. Rumsfeld had less than Cheney. But when she ran Colin Powell's, when he spoke on the topic of 9/11, it was this, in her opinion, there was no doubt of the four, he knew more prior to 9/11 than any of them before. And I thought it was very interesting because
I think that sounds very logical because he was a general, wasn't he? Military planners, you know, those people are very, very well up with the play with false flag terrorism. It's part of the gig.
Well, after that we kept the discussion going, and it's a fact, you know, Colin Powell. Nobody, and even in the alternative media, that name isn't out there. It, right, nobody talks about him. They talk about Cheney. They talk about Rumsfeld. They talk about Bush. They talk about the Saudi connection, that kind of thing. But it does seem like almost after the launch into Iraq, 2003, he just kind of, you know, he's gone and he just kind of vanished. He's not talked about. He's not looked to for interviews. So it's almost like, you know, he was in the know, and now he's just keeping out of the public spotlight. So, you know, no mistakes are made. Nothing is said.
Well, when you commit a crime, you disappear for a while until the heat dies down, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was interesting. I don't know if, you know, if it's set in stone, but it was certainly interesting. And it went to the point of, you know, do we dwell on... Because we are obsessed in alternative with Dick Cheney and Colin Powell, or not Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush, as far as leading us into these engagements. But do we know? Obviously, these guys were in power at the time, but do we really know who's behind it? I think it would pretty much shock everybody if we truly knew the real nature of the people that controlled the show. I do believe there's people setting agenda. I do believe there's an effort to, you know, continue this war in Northeast and or in the Middle East and North Africa, but I don't think anybody knows the extent of how deep this really goes. You talked about Rockefellers, and you know that. I guess I always fall back on it. You know, all these guys are players, but it always falls back to the money people. You know, the money families that they control the central banks of the world that end up, you know, dictating legislation through their wealth. And you know, these are the folks that I try to focus on because I think they have the most control over our destiny.
Mm-hmm. And of course, they control global policy to a large degree as well, don't they? I mean, for example, the axis of evil comprised of what? Libya, Venezuela, and Iran, and North Korea. You know, the only thing that those countries had in common? They didn't have a Rothschild-owned central bank.
That's right. They don't have a central bank.
How dare they? Yeah.
That's right.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with a little bit more depleted uranium for no reason.
I hope you like a jamming tune. I want to jam it.
Gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, hour number two with Charlie McGrath here from wideawakenews.com. You can check him out on the Rents Radio Network. We, in fact, going live with Charlie right after this show here, and I'll be kind of co-hosting with him as we interview his guest as well. My guest, Judy Wood, hasn't turned up yet. She was on a TV show or something until about... maybe about 45 minutes ago. I don't know what's happened to her, but regardless, there's something
where's she at?
We were talking. Oh,
is she in New Zealand or is she in the States?
Ah, she's in the States, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a weird time.
I wanted to read something out here because we were talking earlier about how truthers need money and blah, 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 blah. And talking about how radio show hosts are kind of get too full of themselves and they get too big and blah, 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 blah. And incidentally, last night I get this email, Dear Truther, and this is addressed to me, David Wilcock, Henrik Palmgren, Jeffrey Grupp, Jim Willey, Kerry Cassidy, and Kinky. I don't know who some of them are, but and me, right? So big radio show host. So I'm actually quite stoked to be in that category according to this person in the first place. But dear truther, if you know what is true to be true and it would change the world, why on earth would anyone who claims to know this want dollars to let it be known? Only one whom claims to know but does not know has wants. But to ask for recompense for healing may indeed result in healing. Yet the healer or the channel for healing will be the last to be healed, as they want something in return for the supposed special ability that they seem alone to possess. Value is not of the body or of this world, and if you think it is, then you will charge. Just another banker, except you believe value is your right. But I need food and water and money to survive. Frack off. So do the poorest of the poor and the rich pricks too. Now, first thing that comes to mind is, grr, I'm hungry. Because I was actually really hungry and thirsty at the moment because I don't have enough food and water. Incidentally, you know. And so I reply to him, and I CC in all the rest of the guys as well. And this is what I say. So you don't need food or water or money, do you? How long have you survived with this alternative health regime? I appreciate the feedback. I may be just another banker, but you seem to be just another person who has yet to have a conversation with me or ask questions. Questions are what lead to truth, not accusations. You'd be wise to remember this. And he says to me, Brother Vincent, I agree. I seem to get accusatory when frustrated. Thank you for the reminder. Most people would have abandoned me by now, but you have a gift of dialogue which inspires. I have trouble with the belief that all that we are is a body consciousness, which is of the body's identity, is so small in the universe as it seems to be minuscule to my mindset. My greatest fantasy is untenable. I cannot believe that all that I am is limited to the five senses of the small vessel of a body. There must be more to you and me than this. Yet the fact that we are communicating is proof that we are more. Love you, buddy Vince. Stay in touch, man. I like your show, but do not let it go to your head, bro. Now, incidentally, of course, we have a conversation that speaks exactly to what this email was about.
Right.
I responded to this person. I don't know if any of the other people did. And to be honest, Charlie, I thought about just lampooning this guy with abuse and saying, you're a scumbag, you know, what have you ever done and all of that kind of stuff and getting all uppity about it. But the fact of the matter is, you can actually hear what somebody's saying and accept it. And then try and take it in a positive way, and that's what I did. And you saw the positive response out of the negative initiation, you know, and the admission of this listener about the accusatory. You
know, my hat's off to both of you. And actually, you know, you read the comment, and you know, I've seen them like that before as well, especially on YouTube and through the website. And I don't have a problem with somebody disagreeing. That was really, I mean, that comment was really deep, right? I mean, that was really esoteric. It was you know, spiritual. I took it in nature, and I could see that. You know, there's a lot of people who are really devout and believe in a vow of poverty type of thing, and all money is evil, and you know, more power to them. I mean, that if they live by that standard and are happy, then, like I said, more power to him. It wasn't really, I guess it was a little bit of an attack on you or on, you know, the genre in general, but it was thoughtful. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, you're an idiot, blah, 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 I hope you die, that kind of thing. And we get those too. And those ones obviously are just the automatic delete, move on. It isn't going to bug you. You're certainly not going to do what they're starving for, which is some attention, you know, respond to them so they can, even if it's a negative response, at least it's attention. And those ones, I will not entertain. Or if they attack somebody else in the chat or in the comment box, I won't entertain it because it's self-evident what they want, which is, you know, to be to get that attention, negative or otherwise. But I've always, people that either have called into the show and disagreed, or disagreed on comments through YouTube or their website, and they're like that. They're thoughtful. They have a concern. They've, reasoned that concern to me. I do the same thing. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry you disagree, and I try to explain my position if I think they've misunderstood something I've said, which happens all the time. I did a video recently where I said, if you want to feel like you're backing the winner, then write in vote Bernanke 2012, because these other guys are just clowns. And a lot of people really thought I meant write in, vote for Bernanke in the 2012 election. So, I've spent some time trying to explain myself, but so there's nothing wrong, I think, with a negative comment, as long as if I was going to leave you a negative comment, I would want a response, because it would be something, Benny, I heard you say this and I disagree and this is why, and I'm sure you'd give it to me. But if it was just, hey, Vinny, you're dumb, you're a dummy head, and blase, whatever, and you're not going to respond to that.
I especially love the people who insist on using all capital letters for their comments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
That's a dead giveaway right there that's probably not worth looking at.
Well, the other ones I love are, I don't love, they're scary. Is I'll open, I have a comment email on the website, and I'll open it, I'll have a message on it, and it'll be zero spacing, all capital letters, and 5,000 words long. And those are terrifying, because you're reading it and they're just really, really mad, and they're just going on and on and on and on and on. And you're like, wow, this is the kind of person that you open your front door someday and they're there to bludgeon you.
Mm-hmm. And there is that kind of element here. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm sort of separate from all of this kind of criticism and what have you to a degree, because I'm all the frack way over here in New Zealand. You know, it's like, come on, bro, travel the 10,000 miles to come and kill me. Go ahead. it's not going to happen. And there's so many of those empty threats, empty comments, empty heads, empty wallets, empty frickin' houses. This is what we get to the crux of the issue with this information, is that, right, in my opinion, Charlie, there are so many of us in this movement that have woken up to the truth, from which it has actually damaged us psychologically in order to wake up from it. And because we're not capable of dealing with the situation or maintaining a good sense of humor about it, the tendency becomes to turn into an aggressive, frustrated person, and to accuse rather than question, to refuse rather than accept.
Yeah. Listen, you're right. But I want to back up a little bit, because I think I've talked to you about this before. I know I've talked to others. The biggest problem I have with this community, the folks in alternative media, most of them, I think, are the most of them that I've spoke to in depth off the air or whatever, are truly, truly into this. Now, everybody, like it or not, everybody in this planet needs to earn a living. You need to eat. You need to put gas in your car. You need, to pay bills. I mean, it's unfortunate. And it's really unfortunate when you understand how, the average person is soaked for every penny, and while the ones on the very top are just unloading their failure onto the average person. And I mean, it makes it frustrating to go on here and talk about what's going on, and then write a check for a mortgage payment or whatever the case is. But we all need to make money, regardless if you're listening to us or not, or if we're doing this or not. I mean, most of us work another job outside of our alternative media lifestyle. But there is an element inside of alternative media that really frustrates me, which is the, pounding all the time on their audience. I need money bomb, money bomb, money bomb, money bomb. Send me money for this. And all it takes is one person like that. Maybe somebody's listened to your program, listened to my program. I don't ever ask for anything, because I have a few sponsors. They take care of the program, and I don't, I'm on an even playing field now, so I'm fine. But it really does just take one person that is taking this message that people like you are working hard to get out there, grabbing it, making it their own, at least taking your version of it, spinning it and making it their own, and then going out and building up a following, and then only the only purpose is to get emails and or, you know, get email accounts and get to build up a base of followers so they can spam them and, or they can pump them for donations or money bombs or things like that. Somebody runs into that coming from the mainstream, and then they come into alternative and they're going along and they're liking what they hear, and then they run into that guy. We'll just call him Guy X. It really does hurt all of us, right? It really does blow. Maybe this is what this listener heard before they wrote you a letter. You know, maybe they heard somebody who came on there and said, "Hey, I need money. We need to raise $10,000 this month for whatever." And they were offended by it, and I could see that. I could understand that because these are the problems we have with our mainstream media, corporate owned. It's all about profit, and it's all about they get paid to tell you the official version of the truth.
Boy. Well, I look at it like this. We have, it's like, where's the model here? When the media first started up, they had these two different models. There was the American model and the BBC model. BBC model would take a fee from you, and that would be your broadcasting fee for the year. Okay, so you would have no advertisements, you would have commercial-free programming, and you've paid for it all up front. The other side is the American version, where you do not ask the audience for money. Instead, you go out and you ask companies for money, and you interrupt the audience's programming with advertisements. Now, both of those systems, in my opinion, don't frickin' work. I want to combine both those systems, and in fact, I have with this radio show. And I don't ask for money unless I need it, kind of thing. And I'm kind of shameless. I mean, I'm very different from a lot of truthers. I come from the sales world, where basically, if you don't have the gall to say what you need to in order to make your money for the day, kind of thing, you can't pay your bills and you're screwed, sort of thing. In that very real work sense of the word. And oh, I just moved into a new studio that's an extra $100 a week, and that's kind of really pinching right now, and desperate, dire straits, and what have you. But we're having a flat warming this weekend. I'm going to help all those. I'm going to say thank you to all those people who helped me move and all that jazz. And on the same day, I'm going to be going out to the Auckland Hospital and filming a protest and lending them my 100-watt megaphone so they can bullhorn the hospital about suppressing intravenous vitamin C that could save people's lives, which they're now denying people. And now they're going to die and all that kind of stuff. So every single day that I do anything, okay, it's usually significantly more than a large proportion of other players in the truth movement. And certainly I produce more content per day than even the mainstream media here in New Zealand does in terms of the hours of different content that's being talked about in radio broadcasts and that sort of thing. I'm actually doing more than, say, the mainstream TV news is doing, minute for minute, info by info. I'm actually producing more content than they are. And it shows in the statistics as well. My YouTube channel's getting way bigger. And what it's come down to for me is that I've got a principle here. Nobody should ever have to pay for the information, okay? And nobody should ever have to give you money so that you'll just give them some info that other people can get if they've just paid a small amount or something like that. Like, I don't like the whole idea of subscriptions and passwords and all of that sort of stuff. I think subscriptions are, in fact, something that should be completely voluntary. And if you cancel your subscription, you should still be able to get access to all that information you had before. And that's what I do on my site. You know, we have the ad-free archives for people. And if they subscribe, I'll give them the link. But you can find that link online anyway. It's not even hidden.
Right.
So people can
there's a real difference. Not. I mean, everything you just said there, all this work you're doing, and, this is what you do. This is, this is your baby. This is your life. You're out there trying to wake people up, trying to get the truth out. Now, again, you have to make a living. You have to pay for that studio. You got to pay for that microphone in front of you. You got to pay for the airtime. All this stuff costs money. But you're not coming over to my radio program and then downloading it, listening to it, and deciding, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about. And then at the end of that, I'm going to give a 5-minute speech about how I'm broke. You know, that you don't, that's not you. You know, and there is people out there doing that. You know, not necessarily my program, maybe to your program. And you know, but there's charlatans everywhere. I mean, that shouldn't surprise us. That's human nature, right? Somebody sees an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, it's trees by their fruit, eh? I mean, somebody $5 and they go out and expose scumbaggery, give them another $5. They'll probably go expose.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. Can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman. I'm no Superman. And you've got your love online. You think you're doing fine, but you're just plugged into the wall.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment here with my man Charlie. In fact, Charlie, have you ever seen the YouTube video Charlie the Unicorn?
No, I have not. I'm gonna have to look at it now.
It's funny as frick, bro. You know, anyway. You'll get the joke when you see it, because now whenever I see anybody who's named Charlie, it's either you or Charlie Veach or anything like that. Always goes back to this Charlie the Unicorn thing. It's real funny. There's just these unicorns, just real high pitched voice, like Charlie.
You know? I have to check it out now.
Yeah. And there's a Leoplerodon in it too. I'm not kidding. And they take his kidney. And towards the end of the show, you know how we kind of do self-censor a bit. Is there anything you've ever been kind of wanting to say or plug or anything like that that maybe, you know, you thought it might be a little bit inappropriate on somebody else's show or whatever? I say go for your life.
Well, that's a funny question, Vin Eastwood. No, not really. I mean, you know, I'm doing spokesman work, as you know. I'm doing spokesman work for buyemercyfoods.com, and they've had me go do interviews. You know, we've set up interviews with a lot of prepper type broadcast or podcasts and a few other radio programs. But you know, one of the nice things that this relationship I've built with Chris and the guys over at Buy Emergency Foods is they don't want me to be a pitch man who's coming out doing an infomercial, right? So if I was going to do one, let's say they called and said, "Hey, Vinny, can Charlie come on and talk about Buy Emergency Foods?" They know full well I'm not going to go on and spend an hour talking about, you know, the best tasting freeze dried chili you can possibly buy. They know I'm going to come on and talk about current events, which point obviously it doesn't take any real detective work to figure out that current events are certainly pointing to the fact that we need to be prepared for whatever's coming. And, you know, it's working out real well, but, I don't like infomercials. I don't think anybody does, or, you know, obviously some people do because they keep making them and somebody's buying something. But you know,
technically Chuck Norris's Total Gym has higher ratings than Fox News primetime.
Well, there you go. Somebody's watching it. That's because it's Chuck Norris and they're afraid not to.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, it's just like you put Chuck Norris in anything, I'll watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's like, what's that? Not what's the Lewis one with all the old action? What's it called?
The Expendables.
Expendables. Too. Yeah, Expendables 2. Yeah, you put those guys.
I watched that with my mate the other day. It was so funny. Chuck Norris comes out. Yeah.
Let's see. Who do you got in there? You got Sylvester Stallone, who's what? He's
Rambo.
He's what?
He's Rambo.
Yeah, he's Rambo, and he's you know, he's what, 60 years old now, and he's, you know, just jacked up on steroids. But I think it's cool they get all these older action heroes together and make this movie, and everybody's going to want to see it because it's got all these old action heroes in it. So I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but anyway, yeah, I have a few sponsors. I don't go out and plug them normally because they do, you know, we do the once a month interviews with them on the program, and they have the website space and that kind of thing, and they do fine with that. And I'm fortunate because I get to do my program, and like I said, it's all on an even playing field, so good to go.
And that gives me another idea as well. The whole concept of making money in the truth movement, and anybody who denies that this is now an industry is freaking kidding themselves, okay? Advertising is dependent on media, okay? We're now the media, so obviously advertisers are going to want to, you know, have their products out there to audiences who might actually be willing to get it. Like, I've seen this too, this phenomenon, is that this is a very small but rapidly growing financial section of the community of people who are aware that there is global scumbaggery afoot and is willing to start preparing for it, protecting themselves against things like smart meters by buying smart meter blockers, or from EMF radiation by buying blue shields, or from radiation by buying iodine supplements and blah, 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 right?
Right.
You become aware of all these problems. And what the free market does is when problems exist in the marketplace, people make money out of providing the solutions to those problems so other people don't have to work on it and come up with it themselves. And they can be provided with it nice and easy. You know, that's the free means of trade. And I was just thinking, you know how the system is supposed to be free trade, free market, but really it's just slave trade, slave market?
Right.
I think we just create the alternative to the business model and the media model and the political model all in the same sweep with media. You know, we've got the platforms now that we've got audiences we can reach. And if we want to, we can command a lot of power. And it just seems to me like, let's say this recent example. Somebody with your caliber, Charlie, is just kind of doing your own thing, doing your own radio show, and then one of your mates needs to organize a protest or something like that, but they're not very Facebook savvy. And this happened to me just as little as yesterday. There's a big vitamin C protest outside Auckland Hospital, and my mate, John Eisen, who runs Uncensored Magazine here in New Zealand, great in the truth movement, lovely guy. They did the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine too. They work themselves to death. So what I did is, on my own volition, without asking permission, I created a Facebook group, okay? I expected maybe 5-10 people to turn up to this obscure vitamin C protest. Within hours, there was 30 people confirmed coming and about 18 maybes, and over 1,000 people had been invited. So it's like, whoa, I just did something that was not that hard for me to do, but something that one of my friends couldn't do for themselves. I think that's where we need to fit in. If somebody ain't got money, find some money for them. If somebody ain't got an audience, help them build one. Somebody ain't got a platform, find them one. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Network people together, businesses, and the truth is out there who own regular businesses, you know. In fact, we've just hooked up a few new people with shops on the site. If you look at the shop page, you know, we've got jewelry designers and a renter driver and a musicians and books and stuff now on the site. And I want to give all these people the opportunity, access to my audience who might benefit from their books or might like their music or anything like that. You're not being forced into anything, but it's about helping others get a little bit further ahead. I wish so many people would help me as much as I'm helping them, but sure enough, they are. You know, if you go out and do it, it freaking happens.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that, and there's no doubt that for now, the alternative media, the people looking for information or news outside of normal, whatever we call the mainstream, because it's not reliable, it's not dependable, and it's the same contrived BS over and over again. You know, they're looking, and they are flocking. You know, and it's waves, right? It seems as news is bad, we see a spike in people viewing or people listening, but. It is certainly, every time 100 come to alternative media, you know, 50 of them are staying, and they're not jumping out. They're staying because they feel that they've found a place that not only can they hear the truth, but somebody like you is speaking that is basically speaking the same thing they're thinking, and they're not getting this in the mainstream. As far as the networking goes, we see that, right? Look at protests that have happened throughout Europe that, you know, thousands and thousands are showing up because of the use of social media, like such as Twitter. You know, there's they're having a gathering in Occupy at the corner of blank and blank. Get there now, and whoosh, people are showing up to it. I think that is a brilliant idea, and I think it's going to happen. And I think it's also a threat to the mainstream. It's a threat to the establishment, and that's why, you know, here in the States, we have the president about to sign this executive order on cybersecurity because it failed in the Senate here a year ago. So now he's just going to sign an executive order, and you know, of course, it's under the guise of we got to protect the railways, we got to protect the power plants, and that kind of thing from cyber attack. But part of me thinks that there's just too much exchange of free ideas and information. And it's really a threat because it doesn't take too many times of hearing somebody, you know, challenge the status quo. It doesn't take a person too many times to tune into that program before they really start to turn. The wheels start to turn and they're thinking, wait a minute, you know, that guy I thought was crazy, that Charlie I thought was crazy a week ago, you know, it's making sense. You know, it's making sense what he's saying about the bankers or what he's saying about the big farmer or whatever the case may be. And I think that poses a clear, a real clear threat to the current establishment.
Yeah. Well, the current establishment does not want free markets. They do not want free thinking, and they do not want free media. Ergo, that's the only thing we should be fracking doing, ladies and gentlemen, is promoting the Shiite Muslim out of it.
Charlie. Awesome as always, and ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear more of me and Charlie, we'll be going on his radio program coming up on the Rents Radio Network. We'll be popping the chats, we'll be popping the links in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat room and at wideawakenews.com, where Charlie has, in my opinion, the most spectacularly massive and fracking amazing chat room I've ever conceived of with great chatters. All right, good place to be. We'll see you there. Oh, by the way, happy September 11th.